Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. We are joined right now by our great friend, Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there today, Paul?
Not too bad. How about things there?
Good. Can we kind of keep this weather? I mean, this doesn't seem so bad for winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely is certainly continuing to stay on the warm side here for us into the weekend, and not much of precip chances, other maybe some flurries today, maybe a little freezing drizzle in spots. Otherwise, temperatures staying steady from the lower 30s to the mid-30s throughout today as northwest winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, a few flurries here and there, down to 20, and then breaks of sun and some clouds Friday, upper 20s with north wind 10 to 15, 13 Friday night, 33, breaks of sun and some clouds Saturday, 26 Saturday night, 40 on Sunday, more clouds, and moving in, and chances for some light mixed precipitation, maybe a little rain moving in late Sunday night, 33 for the low. Right now, looks like mainly rain showers Monday, maybe a little mixed precip potential early, highs otherwise at 40, and then 29 Monday night. Rain shower chances turning to mixed precip, maybe a few snow showers as we get to late Monday night, but all in all, still mild through middle of next week, with some more highs in the 30s sticking around. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the updates, Paul. Thank you so much. You have a great one. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow.
Hey, you bet. Sounds good.
Have a good one. Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We'll get you ready for the weekend tomorrow. Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're having a good start to your Thursday out there. We got some fun stuff to get into this hour. Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club a little later. We'll also get into the cities where drivers lose the most time and money sitting in traffic. Should be interesting.
Yeah, I got a couple of ideas.
And the six worst things to order at brunch.
Okay.
That is coming up as well. I don't know. I don't know about that one. That one's going to be interesting. But longtime listeners may remember, all those years ago, and by that I mean not that long ago at all.
Last year.
Last year. That Seth and I did a fun show called Rock History 101. And we're going to dive into that, condensed version.
A version of that
right now. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get into some day in music history on this January 12th in 2023.
All right.
Diving right into the mix here. First up on the list, we have on this day, where is that there? Okay, here it is.
Yep.
In 1930, well, let me start here. In 1723, the opera Othon by George Frederick Handel premiered in London.
Oh my goodness.
In 1905, country singer Tex Ritter is born, Woodward Maurice Ritter, in Mauville, Texas. He becomes the first artist to sign with Capitol Records.
That is so cool.
That's pretty cool.
Good cowboy singer, father of John Ritter. As well.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I forgot about that. I thought he. How did I forget that? Ritter's right there for you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's all right there. Wonderworking power in the precious
blood of the Lamb. On this day in 1939, that voice right there, William Lee Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys, is born in Brewton, Alabama.
Nice. Power
in the blood. The Harmonies.
Some of the best boys. Yep, they're so good.
I think of the Oak Ridge Boys in Alabama as some of my, for me, moving out here, mm-hmm. some of the earliest I heard of true country music.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up a lot on Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings, a lot of that stuff. And while I think of that as country, I've been told by many people who really know country music that, I mean, this is really a big part of the essence of country.
The
harmonies, the band, that kind of thing.
Yep.
1930, Glenn Yarborough of the folk group the Limelighters is born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, I did not know Glenn Yarborough if it was from Milwaukee.
That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And then we go to another one here, because on this day in 1959, Berry Gordy, who had a hit as a songwriter with Lonely Teardrops, launches the Tamala Record Company with $800 he borrowed from his family. A year later, he changes the label's name to Motown Records.
And this is where he got the money for it. Oh, I love this song.
If you haven't seen the live version, like Jackie doing this live,
on TV. Yeah,
you gotta check that out, everybody. If you have never seen it, Jackie Wilson could move.
Yeah,
that man could. Like, it's not so much his dancing. I mean, more of like his literal hopping.
Yeah,
like he was agile. I don't think I realized that. I think I think of Jackie Wilson as a bit of an older, bigger gentleman,
yep,
and stuff,
right,
more chubby checker-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But as a younger man, Jackie Wilson could move.
There was a reason he was called Mr. Excitement, yeah, because of his live, what he would do for his concerts.
I
yeah, he would move that. Around, man.
I completely forgot that he was called that. That's right. That's a good touch, right?
Well,
there.
he was a boxer at one point, so you right. know that's good control of his body.
I love. My dad brought this up a long time ago. I love the idea of another universe. Jackie Wilson, the prize fighter, one of the best. Like, some great nickname and all that. Oh. Like, I bet with those moves, I bet he might have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Going to, where is it here? In 1957, Elvis Presley records All Shook Up, Got a Lot of Livin' to Do, and I Believe, and Tell Me Why.
Some of his first bigger hits, yes indeed. All Shook Up.
And then in 1965, the Supremes play a trio of nuns on the Tarzan episode of the Coven.
What?
I have to look that up. I have to look that up. That looks awesome.
That's fascinating. You're right, dude. Oh, totally. That's got to be somewhere.
Have to see that.
Got to see that.
In 1965, NBC debuts the variety show Hullabaloo. Great name.
Hullabaloo.
Their answer to ABC's Shindig. The first episode features the new Christie Minstrels, Gary and the Pacemakers, and the Zombies, introduced by Brian Epstein and Woody Allen.
Wow.
Whoa.
Then another episode you got to look up there. Wow, the new Christie Minstrels and the Zombies on the same thing. Oh, wow, that's so cool. That is just crazy.
In 1965, Rob Zombie is born. Robert Cummings in...
you mean Zombie's not his given name?
Yeah, right.
Oh, jeez, it's shattered now.
Born in Haverhill, Massachusetts. He works as a production assistant for the popular children's series Pee-wee's Playhouse before forming the band White Zombie. That's hilarious.
I didn't know that. Oh my gosh.
On this day in 68, the Doors album Strange Days is certified gold.
Ooh.
Let me see here. Oh yeah, and I gotta get this in.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. 1969, Led Zeppelin's self-titled debut album released in America.
There wasn't much like that.
Nope.
That when it was released in 1969, it was kind of a new thing.
They were supposed to sink like a Zeppelin.
Yes, like a Led Zeppelin.
Like a Led Zeppelin, they were supposed to sink. This, of course, their first single that would hit any airwaves, good times, bad times. And they would go on to do some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, they had some decent success, you know.
It's still hard-pressed for me. You can mention the Beatles, mention so mm-hmm. many other great bands. It's still hard-pressed for me to think of a band that's every single member is a genius. Every single member is incredible. Like, there's this level, and then there's that next legendary level. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Ringo gets enough credit as a drummer
necessarily,
or a songwriter or any of those things. But I don't know that I would call Ringo Starr a genius.
Right.
I think that, and I don't mean that as a slight to him. He's a step below. He's just a step or two below.
Right.
It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Whereas John Bonham or any member of Zeppelin, it's not far-fetched to say genius at what they did.
Yes.
Bass, drums, guitar, singing, writing songs, producing songs. Like, this band took everything to a level we had not seen before.
Yeah, destroying hotel rooms. Yes, then, they took it to a new level.
Very true. Very true. That's a good point. That's a good point. I got to get this one in.
Oh, they had
course.
Nothing on Keith Moon. Come on.
Nobody will ever have anything on Keith Moon.
All
these artists nowadays that think that they're they're rock stars that could get away with this or that or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right.
CC Keith Moon on anything. Got to get this one in, Seth.
Yep.
Steve, in 1974, Steve Miller's The Joker hits number one in the U.S., leaving many to wonder what exactly is a poppetus of love.
I agree. Still not sure.
Going to figure it out one of these days.
One of these days. Has he ever told us what he thought it means? Maybe he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know.
I don't believe so. I would like to know.
Yeah. First question ever meet Steve Miller. What the heck is a poppetus? Come on, man.
I have been asking Pam for years to get him on Morning Magazine. just so I can ask him what a pompatus of love is.
It would be a short interview, but it would be very illuminating.
But no. No. Nothing yet.
Nothing yet, huh?
Still looking. So I would love to really know, though, what a pompatus mystified millions with Steve Miller using the 1973 song, lyric in there. He's got Space Cowboy in here and everything. Miller has said little about the pompatus word over the years. In at least one interview, fans say he claimed it doesn't mean anything. It's just jive talk, quote unquote.
All right.
Some sharp-eared musician fan noticed the Enter Maurice lyric above bore a marking resemblance to some lines in Rhythm and Blues tune called The Letter by the Medallions.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Yeah, interesting.
That's interesting.
Very.
Okay.
Then came a stroke of luck. John Cryer, the movie guy, had stumbled into the secret of the pompatus. Eager to reveal it to the world, he sent it to who? Rolling Stone and the New York Times? No, of course not. He sent it to this magazine here. the pompous of love. While the movie was in post production, Cryer heard about the letter during a TV interview, and he's the one that kind of got this ball rolling.
Oh, okay.
So that's where it all stemmed from.
A little piece of detective work there, yeah.
From, what Ducky? Right? Wasn't he Ducky in The Breakfast Club? Or not The Breakfast Club, in 16 Candles or whatever.
Oh, God, you got me on that one. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah.
I know my 80s movies, so yeah. I forget. I think he was Ducky in like 16 Candles or something like that.
All
one
right.
of those Molly Ringwald movies. He was always the best friend that was always like
desperately
luck.
In love with her. Yeah, yeah.
Never going to happen.
Never got
man.
It. Yeah.
He's going with Matt Damon. She's gonna,
friend zone. Yep.
Yeah. She's going to go with Matt Dillon, man. It ain't going to ever happen. And it would, you know, kind of something that a lot of us would relate to as we got older and older and older. Let's see here. Also, on this day in music history, in 1993, there was a couple other ones that things. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In 1970, Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine is born in Long Beach, California. It's a great one.
That is a good one.
In 1971, Janis Joplin's album Pearl is released. It 3 months after her passing from a heroin overdose, it goes to number one and yields her only chart-topping single, Me and Bobby McGee.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shame that you know, when we think about these artists, for whatever the reasons,
yeah,
that they aren't around. I think that the most famous version is Otis Redding.
Yep. Yep. Well, you mentioned the other day, I think it was earlier this week, about plane crashes talking about how many we've lost. It's surprising a number of artists we've lost in plane crashes.
Off the top of my head, it's almost neck and neck with drug overdoses and plane crashes.
Yep. It seems that way. Right.
And then, of course, we go to 1974 for this next one. Probably a good rule of thumb to not mess around with James either. Gotta love that song. Jim Croce, the great Jim Croce today. Jim Croce, on this day in 1974, Jim Croce's album, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, hits number one in the U.S.
Boy, you know, a guy who, you know, did not seem destined for pop success, but man.
No.
He was very popular.
I think Jim Croce is a great rule to any singer songwriter out there. If you're looking at yourself in the mirror, like, "Well, I don't look like a rock star, or yeah. I can't make it as a rock star," like
he looked, to be honest, he looked like a plumber.
Yep,
he looked like a plumber.
Yeah, his career is set. Like his legacy was set long before he passed. Thankfully,
yeah.
Now here is an example of somebody that got to experience some hits in some of his career, even though it was cut short.
Yes, but he did. You're right. Absolutely.
Did get to experience some of
it
at least. And from everything that I've ever read and heard about Jim Croce, very likable guy.
Oh yes,
very very yeah. sweet human being. Great song. Great bunch of songs that man has. In 1993, at the 8th Annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Introduction Ceremony, Cream, Ruth Brown, CCR, The Doors, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Etta James, Van Morrison, and Sly and the Family Stones are welcomed into the hall.
Wow.
Cream reunite on stage, first time that they would do that since they were kids, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But Morrison skips the ceremony, becoming the first living inductee to ever do so.
Oh, you Van Morrison.
I guess he was having a wild night. That was horrible. That was horrible.
That was pretty bad.
Very bad. It's very, very bad.
Good song, though.
Good song. I apologize.
Bad intro. Yeah.
I would like to apologize to the audience for that joke. I take no ownership of it. I blame my writers. I blame my writers' room. It's all their fault.
They're fired. They're all fired.
They're all fired. We're starting over. Etta James, also present for the introduction in the hall where she sings her signature At Last. It's a banner year for the legendary soul singer who will also record the Billie Holiday tribute album, Mystery Lady, Songs of Billie Holiday, which is an amazing album of Etta James doing Billie Holiday songs.
Boy, if there was anyone who deserved to be in that hall, it was Etta James. Yeah. Not nearly remembered as much as she should be these days.
No, it's unfortunate, but you're absolutely right. I am not seeing the reason Van Morrison did not show up.
Ah, that's interesting.
I kind of expected to see that.
Kind of a jerk. I don't know.
I mean, he was kind of known for a little of that.
Yeah, he still does stuff that, I don't know. It just, Van Morrison being Van Morrison kind of thing.
The Counting Crows performed Van Morrison's Caravan.
Interesting.
I guess instead of him performing.
Yeah, they needed someone to do something, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And we wrap up our date in music history, going to 2014, when, let me play this little for you.
Okay.
Is where we go. Beautiful. The Carole King musical opens on Broadway. It wins a Grammy Award for Best Musical Theater Album and is nominated for a Tony Award for Best Musical.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of artists, a lot of great artists that tried to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Joel successfully. And,
yeah, two of them, I think. Yeah.
And not a lot of these have done very well.
Yeah.
This is touring right now as we
speak.
This
was a big one. This was a big one.
And it's not to say that her songwriting is different or better than another artist. I just think it speaks so much, so highly to her writing style that they were able to find storylines and stories to connect all of this.
Yes, there's absolutely. That is too correct. Plus, I think there's something to writing songs for other people. She started her career with her then-husband, Jerry Goffin, and they wrote songs for other groups, for girl groups and that kind of stuff. She didn't become her own performer till the 70s because stage fright, basically. Yeah. She had a very bad case of stage fright. But she was writing for other people. And if you see that, that's what basically musicals are. You know, you write songs for anyone to do. They're such universal songs. It doesn't matter who's singing them. They're good songs, period. And that's what I think this speaks to.
I just want to let this play out.
I mean, this is a good case in point.
Yeah.
James Taylor had a big hit with this song.
It's a great example.
Yeah.
Great example. I've mentioned to a student, I've mentioned this a couple of times, but it was just the other day that I brought this up to a student of mine, that Tina Fey is the Carole King of actors.
Mm-hmm.
She was not meant to be in front. She was not going to ever be out in the front of the public eye.
Yep.
There's a good chance that none of us even know who Tina Fey is, really.
Right.
If she had it her way, actually, where she's just known as a writer. If you're one of those nerds like me that looks at who wrote sketches and who wrote TV episodes.
A very talented comedy writer, right.
But Amy Poehler and Rachel Dratch were really encouraging and supportive to her about getting out in the Second City for stage and taking the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would go on to Saturday Night Live, of course, where Lorne Michaels was like, no, you're getting out there and you're doing Weekend Update. You're perfect for this. Nobody else can write your material and do the material you're writing the way you do.
Mm.
It took a lot of people to encourage Carole King to get out on that stage.
Oh.
Like, look, you write great for all these people.
Yep.
Nobody can sing it like you can.
Exactly.
As great as James Taylor is, nobody can do it like you do. It's a very interesting similarity of the parallels of the careers.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about earlier about fear of saying yes.
Ooh, nice tie in there.
There's a little of that there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and do some Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're celebrating when we get back here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Yeah. Garth Brooks, everybody. Garth, you got to go. Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, that's all right.
Got a plane to catch.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Good luck.
Right. It's nicely done. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu, and we want to celebrate all of you. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank everybody that got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com. Direct message us on Facebook. Get us those birthdays and anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the last time we're going to do this. All right, Kathy Waller.
Uh-oh.
You want that free Misty's, you got to get a hold of us.
Come on now.
Reach out to us, Kathy, the same way that you would get us a birthday or anniversary or whoever got us Kathy's name.
Yes.
Please
let
feel
her know.
Free. Yeah. Reach out to us. Otherwise, I think tomorrow will be the day we'll draw another winner. We'll draw one for December.
We're going to have to do that, yeah.
We got to get used to this.
Yeah.
You know, we've already got, we're already a couple weeks into January.
Yeah.
Got to get used to this. So, but please, if you were the person that got us Kathy Waller's name or if you are Kathy herself, please do reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
For now, I need a 1 through 2, a 1 or a 2 here, Seth. A 1 or a 2, give me a
1.
And 1 it is. There we go. Gets us our qualifier. So we can dive right into the celebrating. And first up, I want to wish I have 2 older cousins.
Okay.
And one of them is celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday to my cousin Deb.
Happy birthday, Deb.
Debbie King celebrating a birthday today. My cousin Deb is awesome.
That's
great.
Cool.
Tough as nails. Tough as nails. Teflon, that woman is. Appreciate her so much. I hope you have a great one, cousin Deb. I'll talk to you a little bit later today. We want to wish a very happy birthday to Jim Van Duzer.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Enjoy your day, Jim. Hope it's a great one for
Fine
you.
Fine name.
Yes, a great name you got there, Jim. Very strong name. Good one. Don't mess around with him.
Don't mess around with Jim.
No. Also wishing a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Ashley Fuller.
Ashley, happy birthday and congratulations.
Always love the name Ashley. It's a great name. Ashley, we wish you a great one, and you're our qualifier today.
Nice.
Yeah. Got to dive right now into the celebrity birthdays and anniversaries. First up, Zayn Malik is 30 today. Very talented human being. Very talented. Well, he was in a boy band or something like that, too.
Boy, I'm trying to... I'm not placing the name right now for whatever reason.
Now, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm mixing him up with somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Let me double check here if I got this right. Well, it's his birthday. I want to get it right. Yep, I got him mixed up with somebody else.
Okay.
Yep. But to be fair, I got him mixed up with another guy in the boy band that he was in.
Yeah, okay. There you go. See?
Thinking of the other one with the hits, the songs and stuff all over the place. Yeah, but Zayn Malik was in a boy band. I'm trying to see which one.
Which one of the many,
rock boy by band. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He was on the British X Factor show.
Oh, okay. All right.
I knew the name seemed familiar.
Yeah.
We are out of touch.
We are so out of touch. I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with
that. I'm okay with that.
I'm very okay with that. I'm going to be okay. I think we'll be all right. Raekwon is 53. Now, I know who that is. Real name, Corey Woods, one of the great lyricists of one of the greatest rap bands of all time, Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang. Zach De La Rocha, as we mentioned earlier, 53 today, lead singer, songwriter for Rage Against the Machine. Ton of great albums.
Yep. He did have a lot of rage, I gotta say. Yeah. He had lots of rage.
Still does.
Yep.
I think actually underrated as a singer and songwriter.
Right. Well, and because when you're with someone like a Tom Morello, who, again, musical genius.
Yes.
It's hard to kind of come out from his shadow, especially what he's done after Rage Against the Machine, you know, Audioslave and all that stuff. So, yeah,
it's very true. Keith Anderson is 55, country singer, songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, Rob Zombie, born on this day, he's 58 today. he's not really a rock star anymore.
No, he's more of a movie director now. Yeah.
Him and his wonderful wife, Sherry Moon Zombie, do a lot of movies together. Now, I actually think she's the more talented one. And that's not a shot at Rob Zombie.
No.
It's just she's very good. I think she's a really natural actress. She does a really good job out there, what she does. I think she's talented. But Rob Zombie continues to get a lot of work as a director.
He does.
People like his macabre kind of approach to horror. Mm-hmm. He recently redid the Munsters.
Oh, and that's right.
I never saw it, and I didn't hear anything really bad about it, but I didn't hear a whole lot of positive either way about
right.
it. But, you know, it's worked pretty good.
Yep.
Jeff Bezos is 59 today. any day now, Jeff Bezos will be our overlord, and we're all just waiting for that.
So today, this day will eventually be a holiday, that, everybody. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that Jeff Bezos and that name has become what it is, because I think for a tiny stretch, for just a little bit of time, when Amazon was first getting really big, we were able to look at Jeff Bezos as, hey, here's the American dream, everybody.
Yeah, good job. You know?
Good job, Jeff. Like, he started this business in his garage, and look what he did, and look what he accomplished. Wait, what's going on? He's taking over the world? Okay, wait a minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he's an insane person? Okay, oh, great. That's wonderful. That's
he wants
a good
to live
example.
In space? Yeah, okay.
The American dream, everybody, where you can waste money going to not even space, just our atmosphere.
Barely space.
The slimmest of margins of calling it, like, actually reaching space. Spend billions on this. Meanwhile, thousands of people go hungry.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos, everybody.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Now, the human highlight reel, 63 today. And if you don't know, go ahead and Google it, because you're going to be you'll thank me for it. Dominique Wilkins, 63 today. Neek.
Played for those horrible Hawks teams. Yeah. I feel bad for him, but, you know.
So good.
he was so good.
Man.
Although, the memory, the indelible memory I have of him, unfortunately, is when he had the open lane.
Oh,
no one was around him. And he went up for the dunk, and he bricked it right on the rim, and he fell backwards. And that's, for some reason, that's all I remember.
It was the rim's fault.
It was.
The rim should have backed up. The rim should have been like, oh, my God, Neek's coming in here for this dunk. I should expand my rim. I should expand metal and be bigger for him. Oliver Platt, 63 today. Great character.
Oh, actor. What a great actor. Yes.
Fantastic. We cannot be doing what we're doing right now and not mention the game changer, one of the last game changers in radio. Howard Stern is 69 today.
Wow, 69.
It doesn't matter if you like Howard Stern. It doesn't matter if you hate Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. You cannot change. You cannot separate what Howard Stern has done to radio, or the idea that radio may not even be a thing right now if it wasn't for Howard Stern.
You got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
And like you said, you may not have two thoughts about Howard Stern, but there is a time before Howard Stern on radio and after. And he did. He changed a lot of things. Because of his popularity, because of the style, of course, not for everybody, but enough people really liked it. And they still do.
Howard's much more, I listen to a lot more Howard Stern now as an older man, and I'm a little bit more mature, and I say that with quotes, than younger Howard. His humor back then wasn't my thing. I'm not into a lot of that kind of thing. I will always respect that man. Mm-hmm. I will always have utmost respect and care for that man because I love radio.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did for radio can't be unmatched.
Yeah.
It is unmatched. And forever in radio, you had to talk with a certain voice, and only certain people could be on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Stern changed that.
Yep.
Howard Stern talked real to people. He didn't change his voice when he got on the air. He didn't try to put on airs or any of these things. He just let it all hang out. Now, the people in his life may have some words about that, his ex-wife and things.
Oh, of course, yes.
What he did is what we're doing right now, real radio, what you hear all over Civic Radio, what Kristen does, what Mike does a little bit later, all these things. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not, you can thank Mr. Stern for being able to do this kind of radio.
And I do have to mention, he's a dynamite interviewer.
So good.
He's so good at interviewing everybody and anyone. And he'll do anybody. I mean, he will interview anybody, and he does such a great job with it.
He'll ask questions. Now, part of, again, what I think gets lost in the shuffle is because he'll ask questions that nobody would ask, you don't ask because you have class. but at the same time, he'll also ask questions that nobody has the guts to ask.
Exactly.
And so there's this balance him that all of us are fans of him have to kind of walk, where, like, I don't like that he talks about stuff with him and his wife on the air and these things, and it's uncomfortable
and
crude.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you can't take this without that. You
exactly.
have to take it all in.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a perfect human being.
No.
And he doesn't try to be.
He never claimed to be a perfect human being.
And I think even that alone is a game changer when it comes to doing this job.
Yes.
Let's see here. The I mentioned earlier, William Lee Golden celebrating 84th Oak Ridge Boys proud
yep.
alum.
Mm-hmm.
Still got that long beard too.
Classic.
The Amazing Kreskin is 88 today.
Psychic, oh my gosh,
entertainer.
I didn't know he was still alive.
I did not either. Happy, very happy for him and his.
Very little time. Very little time. I gotta get.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's kind of sad that no one really knows who Kreskin is anymore, because he was pretty good. So yeah, magician, yeah. And he was pretty funny too. So
some people no longer with us. The legend Joe Frazier, born in this day in 1944, passed away in 2011.
I want Frazier.
And Frazier just sitting there with that cold ice stare. You want it? You
yeah,
want me?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yep.
Ray Price, born in this day in 1926, passed away in 2013. Country legend, had 46 top 10 hits.
Jeez, wow,
46. That's crazy.
What?
And the great Jack London, born in this day in 1876, passed away in 1916. Genius author of The Call of the Wild. If you have not read that, do yourself a favor and read Call of the Wild.
Yes. Or any of his books are really, he was an excellent writer, yeah.
And another game changer.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
And one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to my cousin Deb.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Ashley. Happy birthday to Jim Van Duser.
Happy birthday, Jim.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Ashley Fuller.
Congratulations, Ashley.
We encourage you to take a listen to Melissa's News and then head on over to Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here on WFHR.
You did mention the Breakfast Club earlier.
I did. And how great is it that this came out?
Yeah.
Eternal song. Eternal.
Yep.
How many people hear this song and at the end, you got to put your fist in the air. You got to put your fist in the air.
We're all Judd Nelson.
We're all. Such a great movie. Such a good movie. I don't know how well it holds up.
I have no idea.
I've seen The Breakfast Club in ages. I have no idea if that movie is canceled.
It is very 80s.
Like that,
yeah,
but
very
I love
80s.
That movie. So plenty of people bopping around right now, maybe heading to work, maybe heading to an appointment or something like that, possibly driving around, hopefully not having to deal with a whole ton of traffic, especially here in Wisconsin. You know, you get to Milwaukee, Madison a little bit, you deal with some of these things, but you don't tend to in most rural areas. So you could just sit back and laugh at people with this one, everybody, because it's rough. It's rough sitting in traffic. Some things really didn't need to return to normal in the aftermath of the pandemic. Traffic congestion being one of them.
That one could have gone away.
According to the analytics from INRAX, the average U.S. driver spent 51 hours sitting in traffic last year.
51 hours? That's over 2 days.
15 hours more than in 2021, but still about 50% less than the pre-pandemic high of 99 hours in 2019.
Oh, that's so bad.
So bad.
Ugh.
Not all cities were equal, and even though LA is notorious for its congestion, the traffic in Chicago was the worst. Especially, I'm sure, on the Dan Ryan, which has been a problem since I was a kid.
Yes.
Drivers there spent 155 hours stuck on jammed roads. Boston was the second worst at 134. I think that Chicago, Boston are more noteworthy than LA in part because, well, especially Boston. Boston was never intended to get as big as it did.
No.
For locals here in central Wisconsin, take a look at Stevens Point. So I think Stevens Point's a great example of this. It's a college town.
Yep.
It's going to get so big, but when they're building these roads, they're building all this up, they're like, well, it's never going to get that big. Well, spoiler alert, it did.
It did.
It got a lot bigger than they expected it to. Boston, extremely similar, and I know this mainly just from my teacher assistant, Brian, being a Bostonian, my cousin Nicole living out there, and just hearing so much of it. And I mean, so many of the roads that they go on, like main roads that they go on, are right under those roads is dirt. Like, they were dirt roads for the longest time. And working with those dirt roads and everything. So I think it's understandable that so much of this was built that way. The infrastructure just was not prepared for this many people.
No, it wasn't.
Then you look at Los Angeles, where they expected it to be big. They, hey, we got this. We know how big we're going to be and everything. And they got three times bigger than they expected to.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't built enough for
them.
There's a lot of
people.
And
it never, and well, and that's the thing. It never will be big enough.
No.
It's never, they can put 3,000 lanes in and people will fill it up. And that's the one of the problems we're facing right now.
Chicago really bad with this.
Yeah.
Really bad with it. In part because they, I think they well, I think it gets lost in the shuffle, but at one point in American history, Chicago was New York. Chicago was L.A. It was the biggest city in the world. It was the biggest city in America. When we were counting on trains like we were, when we were, every train in America intersected in Chicago.
Yeah, it was the major hub in the middle of the country. Yep.
They did not expect to be this big.
No.
And they built around trains mostly in that, and obviously that didn't have a big shelf life. And
so Mrs. O'Leary's cow was right.
Yeah, she was right. New York City, I'm never going to be allowed back in that city.
No, you're
never,
not.
My relatives just completely disowned me. New York City was third worst, followed by Philadelphia, Miami, San Francisco, Los Angeles at number 7, then D.C., Houston, and Atlanta, where drivers wasted 74 hours in traffic less than half of Chicago.
Wow.
They actually looked at congestion and mobility trends in the in more than 1,000 cities across 50 countries. Mm-hmm. And the most congested city overall is London, England. Again, CC everything we were just talking about here in the States.
Yep.
People there spent 156 hours in traffic.
Jeez.
Chicago was still second worldwide.
Oh, man.
If that don't tell you how ridiculous it is there and stuff.
Well, and it's crazy because, okay, I get the East Coast cities. They were built a long time ago, narrow, very narrow streets. You know, it's hard to get cars into those areas and other stuff. That makes more sense to me. But when you get L.A., when you get Chicago, which has got a lot more space to work with, you know, and still you have these problems. I have to say I have seen the most insane driving in Chicago than anywhere else I've ever driven through.
Mm.
I have seen people do crazy things with their cars in Chicago to try to get around. It makes it like melts your brain. It's so the traffic is so bad there.
For me, it's when you get into the city and the start and stop.
Ugh.
That part I find more frustrating than being stuck in traffic.
Right.
I guess I'm probably used to being stuck in traffic, but the start and stopping thing, it drives me insane.
Yeah, you're not the only one. There's a lot of people really hate that. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, in bigger cities, especially like a city like Chicago and everything, it's not uncommon that you don't get your driver's license until you're 18, 19, that kind of thing. So you don't drive in the city.
No.
If you live in the city, you're taking the L or something like that.
Yeah, you actually have some public transportation you can use. Yeah right.
We'll take a break right here. Hopefully none of you are stuck in traffic. Take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun, wrap up the hour here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here on WFHR. Seth and James with you at 8:51 on the clock. A reminder to everybody out there, kicking off the 9 o'clock hour, our amazing friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. We have got them in. They're actually in the
building
already.
They're already here, yeah.
It's taking every little bit of willpower to not drag them on the air right now.
We're lucky he's at the microphone right now. He'd be out there with the dog that they're going to bring in.
Yeah. We're very, very lucky to have them with us today. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to that in the 9 o'clock hour. Be listening for the Pet of the Week to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. It's back, everybody.
Yes.
And after that, we'll have some good stories of the day that ain't right stories, and we'll lead you into Morning Magazine, where in part one we kick off a great one. It is our 7th anniversary of Let's Talk Real Estate today.
Wow.
Yeah.
7 years. That's crazy.
J.R. Seward from Cole Banker Seward Realtors will join us as we talk real estate. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, nice.
And in part two, we're going to meet Anna James. She is the natural resources educator with UW Extension.
Very cool.
Anna taking over the job that Rachel did for all those years.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's very nice. You get to meet someone new. Yeah.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Sports-wise, you know we got you covered. On our sister station, WIRI, join us at Wiscountry 105.5 Marquette Coaches Show, Shaka Smart, joining our airwaves. Is Shaka always a good one to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
So plenty going on here, and we'll get more and more into our schedule tomorrow, get into a lot more of that. This is an interesting one, Seth. If you know any diehard Sierra Mist fans, you might want to stroll down the greeting card aisle and browse the sympathy section. Pepsi has made Sierra Mist for 23 years, ever since they introduced it to replace Slice in 1999.
Oh, do you remember Slice?
I remember. I miss Slice. I like Slice.
Yeah.
I was very mad about this. But now they are ditching it for a new lemon-lime soda.
Oh, no.
The new one is called Starry. Starry, Starry.
What?
I don't know. Starry.
Starry.
Starry. And a Pepsi rep says it has higher citrus flavors that are true to fruit and more aromatic than Sierra Mist.
Okay.
It'll be available in both regular and sugar-free versions. Starry is already rolling out to all grocery and convenience stores. If you're a hardcore Misty or Sierra Mist person, I don't believe anybody actually calls anybody Misty.
No, no. If you say Misty to someone, then you know that they're a fan of a certain TV show.
Right, right. That's about it. you're darn right. So I don't know if you are a big Sierra Mist fan, you might want to get out there and get it right now, like literally okay. Right now.
Seriously, is there many hardcore Sierra Mist fans?
I've never met somebody. And I've never seen somebody drinking a Sierra Mist.
Really?
I've literally never seen it happen. I've never seen this happen.
You know, if it's the one lemon lime that soda that's there, then yeah, you're going to drink it if you like lemon lime soda. But no one asked for a Sierra Mist. Can I have a Sprite?
Yep.
Can I have a 7
yep.
Up? You know, that's what they're going to ask for. They're not going to ask for a Sierra
Mist.
You're
so right. You're so right about that.
Maybe it's because they called it Sierra Mist. And now Starry, they think that's going to be better?
I feel like Starry's a really...
I don't know.
That's just...
So they got... Slice made sense.
Yeah.
Like a slice of fruit, okay? Totally made sense.
Got
Sierra
that.
Mist, eh?
I feel
and
like,
now we're going to the Cosmos? Sorry.
I don't feel... I don't know why. I don't like the idea of ordering a Starry. I don't know why.
I didn't think about that. Can I have a Starry, please? What? I'm sorry. What did you say, sir? Starry.
Just give me this drink, man. Just give me the drink. You know what I'm trying to say. Just give me the drink. Say it out loud.
Yeah, you have to say it out loud.
He makes you say it. It's the worst clerk ever.
Yeah.
You just got to say it. I'm not sure about that one.
Me neither.
I don't know how that's going to go.
That's weird. Anyway.
By now, you may have already heard, but for those that didn't, I wanted to cover this. The FAA might know what caused them to ground every plane in the U.S. yesterday for the first time since 9/11.
Wow.
And they think it was one corrupted file. If you're just catching up, they issued a nationwide order around 7:30 a.m. yesterday, Eastern Time, that stopped all flights from taking off. The issue was with their NOTAM system that lets them relay info to pilots.
Right.
That stands for Notice to Air Missions.
Mm.
People immediately thought it might have been a cyber attack. The White House said that they didn't think it was, but they weren't ruling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Planes were taking off again an hour or two later, but it caused a massive backlog.
Of course.
By last night, over 1,300 flights had been canceled and more than 10,000 had been delayed.
Mm-hmm.
The FAA is hoping things get back to normal today.
Mm-hmm.
Here are a few updates. They think a single corp file caused it, and it tanked the primary and backup systems.
Ooh.
They're still looking into how it got corrupted, but said again that there was no evidence of a cyber attack.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it's bad what happened, but it's better than outside actors trying to do something bad. Yeah.
Yeah, human error. You
exactly.
Know? The FAA knew there was a problem on Tuesday afternoon. The only way to fix it was by rebooting the whole system. They decided to do it early yesterday morning to get it done before most flights would be taking off. But it ended up taking a lot longer, as it always does.
It always, yeah.
How did they not know? I'm not blaming them. That's very easy to do. But I mean, in all honesty, seriously, like anybody who has ever had a laptop or a computer and you have to update it, you know it always takes longer than you expect.
Long time.
It never happened before. The Associated Press asked aviation experts, and they couldn't remember a tech issue ever causing something this widespread.
Yeah.
A former VP at American Airlines said that there are local issues sometimes, but this was, quote, pretty significant historically.
Mm-hmm.
And the system is very outdated. It has been around since 1947 and used to be phone-based. Now
makes
it's
sense.
All online, but politicians are calling for an overhaul. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said that he's agreed it's the right time to talk about it and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Canada had its own issues, and the UK had a cyber incident too, but it was mail service.
Oh, okay.
And this all came just weeks after major flight delays, of course, around the holidays.
Right, exactly.
Those were all caused by winter weather and issues by Southwest. But two major issues back-to-back doesn't have people very confident in air travel right now. I have not flown in over 10 years.
Right.
And first time in my lifetime, I'm planning on taking a vacation.
That's right.
Less than a month from now.
Yeah.
And we're flying to Georgia.
Again, good luck.
Yeah,
good luck
with
that. Yeah.
I was actually, I'm sorry, everybody. I got to leave right now to get ready for that flight. If I have any hope of getting on that
flight.
I got to go right now.
You know.
I don't.
I mean, the positive takeaway from this, for me anyway, is that this has never happened before, and it shows that they're actually doing a pretty good job of making sure everything goes the way it does. And this is kind of hopefully an isolated incident, and I'm really hoping that this obviously doesn't become a regular thing. But the good news is that they caught it before anyone was in the air. You know, they could fix it before, you know, anything dangerous happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's we've never seen anything like this before
right.
happen. As mentioned, you know, you had the issue a couple of months just a little while ago
yeah.
with the air travel with Southwest and all
yeah,
that.
Right.
And especially during the pandemic and even before that, mm-hmm. It seems like every month we've got a story about some knucklehead in the airway, you know,
right.
flying,
yep.
acting a fool in the, you know, on a plane, mm-hmm. thousands and thousands of miles in the air. We've been flying for a long time.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to get this right.
Yep.
We still don't have this down.
Like, no.
I wonder if there's been a rise in train travel.
That would be an interesting thing to look into.
I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah. There might be. There might be an uptick in that.
I know that even my daughter and her fiancé and I were talking about driving to Georgia, just in part
yeah.
because we wanted to avoid some of this and
yeah.
everything. I also
and it's expensive, too. I mean, that's the other thing. It's
yeah.
really, it's not cheap.
Unless you're buying your ticket like a year in advance almost.
Yeah,
yeah it can be a real...
Yep.
You ain't flying. You're just not flying.
Yep.
You're just not going to be able to. We're flying because we have got an amazing segment coming up. We're so looking forward to everybody.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's coming up, our Pet of the Week, real soon, right here on these airwaves after CBS News at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio.